January 6, 1985, 1:18 a.m., and this is Temporal Experiment Number 1.
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria!
But your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they stopped to think if they should.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Be Nostalgic. I'm here with my co-host, Andrew McGuire.
Hello.
He's also my husband.
Hello.
Hi, husband.
Hello, wife.
I am Beatrice Lopez, in case I didn't say that earlier.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's my name. I am also a host. We are here to talk about Van Dune in the Cupboard! And it's in the cupboard right now. Oh, no. I guess we didn't send him back to his old times.
Apparently not.
He's trying to stab his way out with his little knife.
Yeah, Clark has found the box to scratch up.
Well, now everybody knows it's not really the Indian in the cupboard.
I'm trying to scratch up the box. The Indian can be in the box.
That's true. Clark, don't eat the Native American that's in the cupboard. Okay, He stopped. He listened. So, as I was saying, this movie from 1995... Gee, what happened then?
I don't know. I didn't look anything up. 1995.
I remember having an AOL online CD. Or was it a floppy disk? Maybe it was a CD.
It might have been floppy disk at that point.
Yeah.
So AOL, you should listen to an episode of the podcast, The 90s Sucked.
Oh, right,
about
yes.
AOL discs.
Oh, no.
Really cool.
I used them to put my paint on. They were like a paint palette.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do with them?
I know.
I mean, they were just giving them away for free everywhere, all the time.
Literally everywhere. Oh, those were the days.
Those
dial-up
were
and
I didn't have a computer.
I didn't have a computer until I was like 20.
Let's see, 1995. In third grade?
In 95. I guess I was like 12 or something.
Bill Clinton was president.
Bill Clinton! Right? What?
This movie came out.
Definitely 95.
Yes, 1995. That I know.
Directed by Frank Oz.
Frank Oz. A lot to do with Jim Henson.
He was a creative friend, collaborator, some might say.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked on various Muppet-related movies, and most notably, Yoda!
Yeah.
Adult Yoda, not the baby Yoda that everybody loves right now. Grogu! Oh.
July 14th.
July 14th. One of the hottest... Right now, I feel like we're living in the hottest day of the summer. So hot. And so is this movie.
Take Me Back. Friday, July 14th, 1995. Takemeback.to. Yeah, that's not going to give me a virus at all. It's Friday. It was under the sign of Cancer. Let's see. Bill Clinton president. Blah, blah, blah. Famous people born on this day. Jasmine Brown and blah, 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 blah. The Out There Brothers was in the top five hits.
Oh, that's nice.
It's funny that they don't have
any of the songs that they...
Like, it doesn't have the number of songs. It's like, here's the song that was in the top five. Okay.
Well,
Mushrooms?
Oh, I was going to say more on that later.
Oh, hold on. Because I want to know what this movie's about.
Okay,
Mushrooms, cool. Directed by Alan Madden, was one of the most viewed movies released in 1995.
That's weird.
What the hell's Mushrooms by Alan Madden?
If you know what Mushrooms by Alan Madden is, please send us a message. You can do it. Please. Now it's going to drive me nuts.
Alan Madden Mushrooms. Guys, this movie's very boring.
It was boring to Andrew, but it reminded me of a quieter, happier time.
So I feel like...
It's like a peaceful time as childhood goes, you know?
I can't remember... Oh, it's a dark comedy slash horror.
Oh, that's nice. Never mind, everybody. Andrew figured it out.
Okay. So, what's interesting about this movie, as far as what I remember of it, is that I remember very specifically, and for some reason, I guess I honed in on this. I thought that it was more of the movie of him trying out his different toys.
Yes. When see, really that's what like, people would have enjoyed, I think.
Which I guess is why it was just like that one scene for like 30 seconds.
It's literally one scene, and that leads me to my film theory, copyrighted by somebody else. Sorry, I stole it.
Yeah.
This is my, I can't say film theory, my...
Theory of film?
My hypothesis, because I haven't tested it.
Yes, that is true.
So, it's based on the book.
Yes.
And in the book, obviously you know that they put these little toys in the cupboard and blah, blah, blah. At one point, they are traveling with the little humans in their pockets. But in the movie, they switched to fanny packs to for the times, 90s, I guess, fanny packs. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, kid is wearing three watches on one wrist. Was that like a fashion trend in the 90s?
There was...
That I was not aware of?
I'm going to say I have this like running memory of various pop culture medias having people wearing multiple watches. I feel like they all wanted it to be a thing, and it just was never a thing.
It shouldn't be a thing. It shouldn't. Why all the watches? And this kid can't even like... set an alarm. No, there's one point in the movie where they have to stay awake to guard their precious cargo. The Native American and the cowboy. The sad cowboy. Because, you know, there's a rat on the loose. And they can't even stay awake. Just, the whole point of the movie, I think, is like a coming of age. They do like two or three major close-ups on Omri, that's the lead protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his attitude and just disregard of human life is the antagonist. So he's both the protagonist and the antagonist, not the white rat that lives in the house. That white rat lived there first.
That's completely fair.
I mean, it's true. So, Omri, what was I... I just got off on a tangent in my brain.
Omri is...
He's just, like, the worst. He gets this, like... Okay, so it starts off on his birthday, right? It's really his, like, brothers and his brother's friend, and then one of his friends comes by.
Mm-hmm.
So they make a big deal about giving him all, of, like, these weird action figures that he supposedly enjoys, which he doesn't even try to put in the cupboard. I guess they were too big. No, they were too big to fit in the cupboard. So he did try to put it in there first.
Yeah.
And he gets a skateboard, which Patrick says, wow, they got you the good one. Oh, the acting. They got you the good one.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, they're kid actors. I want to
feel the easy writing on is them, bad.
But like, they don't get a lot to work with.
They don't. So... He got the good one, and then he forced his brother to take him there, and all they do is just sit on the ground, and they mention skateboarding once, offhandedly, like, oh yeah, I could do those tricks, I just don't want to. Like, why did you make them buy you a skateboard then? The good one, too.
Like, at least he could say, oh, I need to practice, or something, like, you know, because obviously, he's a little kid, he's not going to be good at it.
But, I know, but, like, come on.
No, but, like, but I'm agreeing with you. Yes. Like, they don't even, like, bring it up to be like, oh, he's learning how and he wants to learn or something to that
exactly. effect. Like, if he's going to go through this metamorphosis,
yes.
if you will, from child to teenager or something like yeah. that, he could have at least learned some kind of skill by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
The kid can't even get to the grocery store or whatever, the corner store, and back without getting robbed.
Yeah.
What the heck? Come on! They don't live in a bad neighborhood. Although, was that pre-gentrification of Brooklyn?
It was I think it was like mid-gentrification.
Like, it was daytime, though. How does he, like... What? He makes a big deal. I'm not a baby. He wrecked his father's tools.
Well,
and then
so,
he gets off high and mighty. Yes.
Well, the I'm not a baby thing is him... He got mad because Little Bear called him out.
Yes.
So he's, like, overcompensating. I'm not a little baby. Because, like, he was like, oh, you are a child. You don't know anything.
Yeah, exactly. And he was right. He doesn't know anything. And he never learns anything, even by the end. He, just sickens me.
I mean, he learns enough to be like, I'm not responsible enough to own a human.
He's responsible enough to do that. But then he took this woman toy and he was going to put it in the cabinet.
He's like, I don't want you to be lonely. You know, like pandas, just shove them in the cage together.
Have them, you know.
I'm sure that'll work out well.
They don't know each other well. They probably just met, and they just expect, like, just ignore us and the cameras, but just go at it right now.
Yeah.
What? No. Can't. And Little Bear was like, you know, my mother should pick me, as his culture says. Yeah. And then it's like at the end of the movie and he still didn't get it, really.
Yeah.
But finally, because the cowboy was shot with an arrow, he realizes, oh, these guys can die, like real. We can't. They have to go home.
A lesson he did not learn when the old Indian comes in and has a heart attack.
Hello? Somebody already died. Did you forget about the poor old man, and then you had to bury him? Clearly he didn't learn anything from that first killing. That horrible death. And stealing from his school. Because he stole the figures from his school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little diorama or whatever.
Yeah. So sickening. So, at one point, the cupboard is missing, and that's the big problem. Like, oh no! They're going to be stuck like this forever. So, like, I guess they're kind of making do. Ironically, the cowboy and the Native American they're like the best of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think Omri and Patrick are not that great friends.
They're not, like, super good friends.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, you can't even stay awake for 5 minutes. To protect the life that you brought into this world? What?
I'm sorry. I know this is a tangent.
Clark just stood up over there. I think it's adorable. I'm going to take a picture and put it on the Twitters.
That works. The Los Angeles Times, as they were, you know, wont to do, did a review of this movie in 1995.
Ah, yes.
Now, here's the thing that's funny about this.
Uh-oh, he's going to try to step on the computer.
Is that they used...
No, Clark, don't do that. Nope. Clark.
Kids.
Why does he want to go on the computer so bad?
They used quotes from, like, real kids.
Oh.
Michael Corey, 7 at the time, says, I liked the book better because the book had better pictures.
Burn!
It's a movie. It's all it is a picture, and you gotta say the
Literally,
book had better pictures.
Movies are translated into moving pictures. It's all pictures. Oh my gosh! Wow, kids, so smart. Even out of the mouths of babes, even they know.
Nicholas J. Henson, also 7, said, it was dumb. I liked it.
So, I believe he was a hipster in the making. He liked the movie, ironically.
Now, here's someone who definitely was very good in school. Amanda Smith, 14, said, I thought it was too Let's see. Let me... Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, just skip.
Omri quickly realizes the pain he plays... the pain his play inflicts on the small characters pulled out of these worlds too quickly, according to some older kids. He was too wise, says Amanda Smith. He was so young, he wouldn't have understood it. It would have been just fun.
Yeah, okay. There you go, Amanda. I mean, that's succinct. That tracks. That's very good.
Yes.
What she said.
Kristen Egner, 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
Was scared of the mouse.
Oh.
I thought it was a mousie that jumped out. I was scared.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, she was 4 and she found it scary.
It was scary, right? Wow. When I was 4, I was watching Freddy Krueger. And this 4-year-old is scared of the mouse. I was watching Freddy Krueger when I was 4. Okay.
Sorry, one more. I wished all my horses would come alive and I would ride them. Hold on. Hold on. They didn't for her age, so. But she also adds, they would have braids.
No.
That's the end. That's literally the end of the review. And they would have braids. End now, of review.
So you can just take that as you will. She could be referring to her ponies, or like My Little Pony collection. She could be referring to the little horses that kids sometimes collect, or she could be referring to her actual horses who died. And she wants them to be alive again. What?
I think she just means toy horses.
I hope so.
But I don't know, like, they ain't quite her age, so she must be like fairly little to be like, I could ride them.
Oh my god. Anyway. I forgot about my theory.
I won't tell you unless you want me to tell you it.
The hypothesis that I made?
Yeah, that you had told me about it.
Yeah. I was gonna say it.
Yeah. Well, you said you forgot, so I was like,
no, I forgot to say it.
Ah, yes.
So my hypothesis was, and there's two possible hypotheses.
Hypothesinians.
You know, like the preacher, like, what's that thing that they...
I don't know, whatever.
Yeah,
all right, guys, the motion she's giving is like the go long when you're throwing in football.
What? No. I wasn't doing a football reference. I was doing like...
I know, you're like talking about the preacher. You're like, you know, the preacher.
Like when he throws up his hands, and this is more evident in a Christian church, evangelize or like...
Evangelize would probably be good.
I guess so. Anyway... It has nothing to do with religion or whatever. Not that I'm against it. It's good that if you like it. So, there's two hypotheses. One is really sad, the other one's alright. The sad one. So he takes these people out of their timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Little Bear is an actual person from history that he brought back into this time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the possibility, but that is already debunked because when he put his toys in the cabinet or the cupboard, right? Darth Vader came out with an actual working lightsaber, and everybody knows that that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been the actor, you know, and waving around some stick, you know. It should have been that.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, maybe they are real, and this cupboard is a portal to another parallel universe where Star Wars is not a movie, but a reality, and Little Bear is a part of a society that actually thrived in the United States and colonization didn't happen.
Right.
So... One out of those two things.
I mean, I think it's the second one.
Like a portal to a parallel universe.
Yeah, an alternate reality.
Where Star Wars exists and RoboCop is real, and Native Americans are living their lives, and the British stayed over on that side. Mm-hmm. And the Spaniards did too, and the Italians, and
the French.
And the French.
And the Belgians.
And the Belgians, and the
Portuguese.
Portuguese.
Literally all of Europe.
All of Europe stayed to the, you know, they stuck to themselves. And, wow, wouldn't that be nice? That's a lovely place. I mean, like, Darth Vader was in power, but that's in the galaxy. That's outside of the Earth, so that's all right.
Well, I mean, if he's coming out of the Star Wars world, then he's probably going to die anyway.
I mean, in this portal, right? It's a portal. Like, each figure may be their own portal.
Well, I feel like they come from a world that's created for them because they're toys. Well, so they do, like, live a full life, but within the parameters that's been designated for them.
That's the third hypothesis, where the toys are toys.
But I'm saying, like, they have, like, a full, rich life as toys that they're pulling. Like, it's almost like the multiverse theory, like, everything that every decision you make creates a new
timeline.
Like, every time a toy is created, it makes its own timeline of that world, of that toy.
Okay. So there's multiverses, and that Darth Vader happens to be in one of the other multiverses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apart from Little Bear's multiverse.
Yeah.
So that's what I said. It was a separate portal.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then you were... But I was saying, like, if he's alive in the Star Wars universe, because you were saying he's still in charge. I'm saying he probably still died.
Oh, like he did. Oh, I see.
Like, they live out that timeline of the creation or whatever.
I suppose. But there's another timeline where he is in power.
Hmm. I mean, there is a lot extended Star Wars universe material. Yeah. He could also be the Darth Vader in Soul Calibur for some reason.
Yeah, who knows? Or from Kingdom Hearts, if they ever used him as a character in Kingdom Hearts.
I'm literally trying to remember if they used Star Wars in Kingdom Hearts 3. Mm. I do not think they did.
Well, that's a missed opportunity.
Well, I think they didn't have the
licensing?
IP yet.
Oh. Who knows?
And they were too busy completely retrofitting the Frozen level.
Oh, yeah.
Because they definitely had Elsa be the big bad boss, and then they had to change it.
Oh.
Because in the original Frozen, Elsa was supposed to be the bad guy.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
And it turned out, you know, that guy was the bad guy the whole time.
Yeah, well, they had to change the movie because they were like, oh, wait, you can actually sing really good. We can't have you be the bad person.
Wait, really?
Basically.
What?
Yeah, Elsa, it's based on the Ice Queen. She's supposed to be the bad guy. But they were like, oh, you sang that song so well, it'd be weird if you were the bad guy, so you're a good person now. And now I guess this random dude is the bad guy secretly all the time.
I still like the movie.
Yeah.
But I don't like that explanation of why they chose the bad guy. That was dumb on their part.
Yeah, and that's why if you like really look into the Frozen level of Kingdom Hearts 3, it doesn't make any sense as a level, and it's really bad as a level. And they think it, and the idea is probably because it did have a better villain and story of her being the bad guy, but they had to change it because they're like, oh, well, you're not the bad guy anymore, so I'm a giant snow thing.
Oh boy, the abominable snowman.
Basically.
Well, that's what we could think of for this movie. Because, as Andrew eloquently put it, it was boring.
Yeah.
I mean, in the end, they saved the sad cowboy. I don't even remember his name.
I don't remember.
He was referred to as Amigo.
Mm.
They were amigos. And in the book, they're blood brothers.
Yes.
So they're even, like, their bond is even deeper.
Yeah. Read the book is what I'm taking away from.
Yeah, read the book. The book is always going to be better.
Mm-hmm. Has better pictures.
It has better pictures.
It has better visuals than the visual.
I guess they have, like, the close-ups of Omri trying to figure out this existential crisis instead of just looking pained. They were trying too hard to make...
It was so rough. And why is there a running gag about a skylight that never amounts to anything?
They do put in a skylight. That kid...
Does anything happen with it? Fly in it?
No.
And listeners, let me tell you, if you ever watch this movie, it takes place in New York. It takes place in the, like,
you
the crazy
New York.
You
don't see the skyline or anything. Any, like, pizza delivery man or whatever.
No, like, crazy adventures in New York City.
Except for that one mugging.
Is there a mugging in it?
I just told you in the beginning the kid was mugged on his way to the corner store.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes, he was.
So that was like the one. And poor little bear was attacked by a bird.
Yep.
On the front step. Brooklyn is a wonderful place to visit. Try Grimaldi's Pizza. Or if you like chocolate, Jacques Torres under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing. It's in the Dumbo district. Yeah. Try walking over the bridge. Just
give it a shot.
There's something that people say about the Brooklyn Bridge, like, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge or something.
Yes, so that actually is based on a true event. This, like, guy, Soul, would sell the Brooklyn Bridge, over and over to people.
Wow.
To the point that they thought they owned it, and they would try to put up tolls on it to, like, collect money on it. Yeah. It's like the guy who sold the Eiffel Tower.
Wow.
Like, multiple times. And then he got caught because, like, one guy's like, oh, well, I'll go with you to City Hall to sign the documents. And he's like, you can't do that for reasons, and here's your money back. Bye.
But he tricked dozens of others. Hmm.
Behind the Bastards had an episode about him. I can't remember his name.
Oh, no.
The guy who sold the Eiffel Tower.
So, I feel like just the dialogue wasn't that great. It just wasn't. There wasn't there. The real standout star for me was Little Bear, and to a certain extent, the Sad Cowboy.
Yep.
He was funny. He was kind of funny.
And they did use a real native actor.
Yes.
Play Little Bear.
So there was no whitewashing in that respect.
And he's actually a rapper.
That's pretty cool.
And he does a lot, and he's been in a lot of stuff since then, too.
What is his name?
I should know this little. Let's see.
As he looks through that, we're going to discuss another movie. I'm going to go back in time.
Okay.
Yep. I'm going to go back in time and talk about... Remember when I mentioned Cameron and what I thought maybe would have happened to him?
Yep.
He lives, everybody! If you watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off and were saddened by Cameron and his sadness, and asked yourself this question, what happened? Is he okay? What did his father do? Well, rest assured, he is alive and well. In the movie, Cheaper by the Dozen. He goes on to marry the first woman that ever said yes. Like Ferris said he would. He has one child with this woman. They're in a loveless marriage, but, you know, they're rich. They still live in Chicago, in the nice area. And they live next door to the couple that has a dozen kids. So, he's okay. I think he changed... Actually, honestly, the name is different, but I think that the woman that married him, right, just refuses to call him Cameron. And he is so subservient that he just lets her. And he's not even Cameron anymore. He's Bill. He's just Bill.
Mm.
So, at least he's alive.
Yeah. So, he was most recently, at least in movies and television, in an episode of House of Cards.
Oh, cool.
He was in CSI Miami for an episode. Adaptation, 29. So he's been in a lot of stuff. And he has been in one film that is not a film we're going to be talking about next week.
Oh.
But similar to.
Oh, cool. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. I think that they're definitely going to get that clue. I didn't even have to say a clue. That was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just which version of that story. It's right. Going to be tough.
I mean, we don't even say anything else. Like, not even a letter? Can we at least tell a letter?
You can.
Okay. It's like if you were drawing a doorway, but you didn't put the top and the bottom. So like a rectangle, but no top or bottom. And then you took the bottom and you put it in the middle.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's the letter.
It's a letter.
It's a letter.
I'm so, so confused at that. So confused.
Fine. I will say something else as a clue.
No, it made sense once you explained it.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
I just was very dumb and was trying to picture a real door without a top or bottom and trying to be like, oh, it'd be a no top door?
Oh, my god.
No bottom door? I don't.
Oh, no.
And try to figure out a word like that.
No.
I have nothing else to say about this movie.
I mean, honestly, it is a movie that existed in 1995.
Yep.
There were some standout performances, mainly by the man who played Little Bear. And I still don't know his name.
He goes by Lightfoot as a
Yeah, that's
rapper.
What I see, Lightfoot. He goes by Lightfoot. And also in the IMDb, it says Lightfoot. So he did a great job. I think David Keith, who played Boone, and that was his name. The sad cowboy's name is Boom. And apparently he was supposed to have learned a lesson about not playing God. But,
Futurama did it better.
Yes. Watch that episode of Futurama. Also, Lisa Simpson learned not to play God as well in one of the Treehouse of Horror episodes of The Simpsons,
mm-hmm.
where she created a little society from, like, one little drop of sweat or something. I don't know. What was it? Some sort of DNA-filled thing.
I don't know.
Maybe I think she sneezed.
I haven't watched that episode.
That's fine. This isn't a test.
But I do know that's all based on a Twilight Zone episode.
Yes, so Twilight Zone also did it similar.
Except that guy was a jackass.
Ugh, I don't
and
like that.
And he, like, would kill the little people to force them to, like, build a statue of him.
Ugh,
or,
no.
You know, worship him.
Nope, nope. Boo. So that one did it worse. So he did not learn anything. Omri, did he grow up in a way, I guess? I mean, he saw the death of one person and the recuperation of another. Did he have anything to do with the healing? Not so much. I mean, it was really all that medic that did all the work.
He knew enough to be like, oh, I need a medic.
Yes, he knew enough to call someone else to do the work for him. There you go. He is good at... What's that word where you subjugate?
Delegation.
Delegate. He's good at delegating, so maybe he will be a supervisor one day.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not, because he's the worst. He'll probably fall asleep on the job.
This. Let me tell you about this 8-year-old kid's work ethic.
I don't think he's 8. I think he's 12.
Yeah,
I think so.
I don't know
or at least 11.
I don't know how old he is. Doesn't matter. I'm done. I don't care to look you up.
Don't let yourself be sucked into this movie any further. Don't let the movie win.
It's me versus the movie, and I'm not letting it win.
See, like, I like Frank Oz's work.
Okay. Fine. It's Frank Oz.
Yes, Frank Oz directed this.
And he's worked on The Dark Crystal. He's worked with Jim Henson. He's worked with George Lucas.
Maybe he's just really good with puppets, but not with...
Like, what? Why didn't this more have a more... I mean, I guess the book is probably a very contained story as well. Yeah. But, like, I feel like you could have done so much more than you did.
Yeah, could have done so much more. But...
I mean, the effects are pretty good. Like, he does, when he interacts with Little Bear...
Yeah.
It does look really good.
Yes.
But it's just nothing going on.
This is one thing where he puts his hand in the fire. I mean, I think they were just so tired by the end of the show. It's like, he's impervious to fire. And that's it. That's the skill he learned. He's impervious to fire.
Mm-hmm.
He can put his hand on fire and not flinch. That's it.
He found all the secret packages in Vice City.
Yes, he did. That's a reference to a video game.
That is a correct statement.
So if you are a fan of GTA, you may like that. Press the like and subscribe.
That is true. Oh, and we do have our Patreon up and running. We did talk about it before, but I guess I never actually published it somehow.
Oh.
Patreon.com/BEANostalgic. Where you can actually request we watch certain movies.
Yeah, make us watch terrible things.
Or, you know, just be a patron. So hopefully we can, you know, buy food and rent.
That would be nice.
Right?
All right, that was an episode.
Bye! Bye.
I don't see ya. Good afternoon, good evening.